Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans may move to impeach Wisconsin's newest Supreme Court justice. They might not remove Janet Protasiewicz from office, but that may not be the point. Terry Bell explains.
J.R. Ross covers state government for WisPolitics. He tells WISN-TV's Upfront that it would be hard to get 22 senators to vote to oust Protasiewicz, but that may not be the end game.
If you're impeached as a justice or a judge, once you're impeached by the assembly, you can't exercise your powers as a judge or justice until the Senate trial. That would sideline, in theory, Protasiewicz for weeks, maybe months, long enough to get past this window of a new map from the state Supreme Court kicking in for 2024.
The Wisconsin Constitution says someone in elected office can only be impeached for criminal activity or corruption. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Strip searches in schools would be outlawed in Wisconsin under a bill that gets a hearing today, Pete Schwabo reports.
The legislation comes after a controversy in Suring in northeast Wisconsin last year. That's where the school superintendent at the time strip-searched six teenage girls while looking for a vape cartridge. The superintendent was not prosecuted, but she did resign. The community was outraged enough to spur four state lawmakers to respond. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
First Lady Jill Biden tested positive for COVID-19 over the weekend. Mrs. Biden was in Wisconsin last Thursday touring Exact Sciences and meeting with school officials in the Madison area. President Biden has tested negative after learning of the First Lady's positive test. COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations are on the rise again nationally. People across Wisconsin may see higher costs when it comes to their energy bills next year. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
We Energies is proposing another rate hike for its customers in 2024. The utility company is asking the Public Service Commission to approve a rate hike of 3.1% for residential customers. That's double the increase proposed for industrial customers for next year. The request comes after a rate hike of 11.3% in energy prices this year. If approved, the increased energy cost for residential We Energies customers would total nearly 14.5% over 2 years. Consumer advocates say it's wrong for residential customers to pay higher costs than industrial and commercial customers. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
Two fishermen saved three people and their dog near the breakwater off Milwaukee's lakefront on Monday evening. The fishermen saw a boat sinking and called it into the Harbor Patrol and Coast Guard. The two adults and teenager were clinging to the boat. None of the three were wearing life jackets. All three and the dog survived, but were taken to the hospital for precaution. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin legislators are working on a Senate bill to address PFAS concerns in the state. Senate Bill 312 was introduced on May 24th, shortly after Governor Tony Evers signed the state budget. The bill would create grant programs for a $125 million PFAS trust fund to address PFAS in biosolids around the state. Studies show that PFAS may affect growth and development, reproduction, thyroid function, the immune system, and the liver. University of Wisconsin-Madison students took an unexpected swim on a hot day after a pier collapsed at the university's Memorial Union Terrace on Monday afternoon. Authorities got calls for a water rescue around 3 o'clock in the afternoon when 60 to 80 students fell into the water when the pier collapsed. One person was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries and about 20 to 25 other people were injured. The university said the area was not staffed by lifeguards at the time. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers reboot against the Pirates. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Pirates face off again tonight at PNC Park, game time 5:35. Brandon Woodruff against Pittsburgh's Andre Jackson. The Brewers lost the series opener last night, 4-2 against the Pirates. After the game, Brewers starting pitcher Corbin Burns seemed to remember nearly every pitch he gave up. 4 runs on 7 hits, 2 home runs. Over 6 innings, including veteran Andrew McCutchen.
The double to McCutchen before was a changeup right down the middle. The next inning, they scored 2 runs. The curveball to Reynolds right down the middle. You know, mistake to McCutchen down the line, another slider right down the middle. So it was more about early on we were really good executing, getting stuff the edges, getting swing and miss, putting hitters away. We got two strikes, and then the second time through, we got two strikes. We just left pitchers right in the middle of the plate, and they hit them.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell on Burns' performance.
I mean, I thought he came out, you know, throwing the ball great. I thought it was really, really good. The mistakes he made, they did damage on his mistakes. So it was extra base hits, obviously a couple homers, and, you know, that's putting runs on the board quick. So that's what hurt him tonight.
And the Brewers' Freddie Peralta named National League Pitcher of the Month. Peralta on what made the difference for him in August.
I think for me, it's more like the way that I've been taking care of like myself and the situation that I've been in, that I can handle all those situations. It's awesome, and I've been feeling great and excited for see what's coming for us and for me.
College football, Duke stuns number 9th ranked Clemson last night, 28-7. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell is not happy with Air Force after they denied defensive back Michael Mack's request to transfer to Wisconsin, now under appeal.
I'm going to kind of hold my tongue to say anything about the Air Force Academy and how they've treated the kid, but we'll wait on what the NCAA, it's in their hands, and kind of leave it at that.
Fickell on his subdued mood after Wisconsin beat Buffalo Saturday in the season opener.
I probably wasn't as fired up as maybe I needed to be. Deep down inside, I just felt like we were sloppy.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey, good morning. Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on a Tuesday morning, a Tuesday that may feel like a Monday to some people. Hope you enjoyed the three-day Labor Day weekend. It is the fifth day of September now, and you are tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show. You can hear this program Monday through Fridays from 8 to 10 a.m., and outside today, going to be another scorcher out there. La Crosse today, partly sunny with a high around 94 degrees. Eau Claire, partly sunny with a high around 94. And a slight chance of rain after about 4 p.m. In Richland Center today, partly sunny and breezy, high around 94. In Amory, partly sunny, a slight chance of rain after about 4 p.m. and a high around 90 degrees. And even way up in Hayward, partly sunny, breezy, slight chance of rain after 3 p.m., and a high up there today around 90 degrees. Well, in sports, the Brewers have lost a couple in a row. They lost to the Pirates last night, 4-2. The Cubs won yesterday, so Milwaukee now just 2.5 games ahead of Chicago in the National League Central. Game two of that three-game series against the Pirates is tonight in Pittsburgh. And there's quite a few things going on in the news today. We'll get to some of the headlines in just a minute. Want to talk to my producer, Aaron, see how he is doing. Good morning today, Aaron. And how was your weekend?
Good morning. My weekend was good. I spent some time with some friends, did a little bit of camping, played some cornhole, had a margarita to celebrate the life of Jimmy Buffett.
Yes. I bet a lot of people had margaritas this weekend. And did, when you were hanging out with your friends, camping, enjoying a margarita in memory of the late, great Jimmy Buffett, did you guys discuss Jimmy Buffett at all or not too much?
Not too much. We didn't have a ton to talk about him at the time.
Yeah. I'm assuming that if they were all around your age,
They probably never saw Jimmy Buffett. Is that right?
Oh, definitely not. We have not. Yeah. We never got to see him. We've heard a fair few of his songs, but.
Oh, yeah. You can't escape them. But let me ask you this. Now, you said you went camping over the weekend. What was it like in the tent? Was it hot and muggy, or how did you guys deal with that?
Yeah, it was really hot. We did not go tent camping, which I always hesitate to call it in a camper. I always don't want to call it camping, but, you know.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. It was more just being outside. So we had the opportunity to go inside and set up a bunch of fans and stuff.
Yes. But you were out in the woods or near the woods,
yeah,
and that kind of thing. So you've got some of the comforts at home and some of the experience of camping all at the same time. So that sounds like a fun way to spend a Labor Day weekend. I didn't do too much myself. I kind of laid low. I've been fighting the cold for the past week or so, but the rest over the Labor Day weekend definitely helped out. And speaking of Labor Day, the first thing I want to get to here today is an opinion piece. And Aaron, I want you to listen to this opinion piece, and I want you to take a guess after I'm done. I want you to guess and see if you can figure out who wrote this opinion piece. And it's about Labor Day. And the title is Why This Labor Day is So Consequential. It's not utopian thinking to imagine that for the first time in world history, everyone could have a decent standard of living. As we celebrate Labor Day 2023, let's take a quick look at the economy over the last few years. Never before in American history have so few owned so much, and has there been so much income and wealth inequality. Never before in American history has there been such concentration of ownership in our economy, with a handful of giant corporations controlling sector after sector, enjoying record-breaking profits. Never before in American history have we seen a ruling class utilizing a corrupt political system exercise so much political power through their super PACs and ownership of media. And never before in American history have we seen the level of greed, arrogance, and irresponsibility that we see today on the part of the 1%. Corporate greed is rampant. Meanwhile, as the billionaire class becomes richer and more powerful, over 60% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And many work for starvation wages and under terrible working conditions. Incredibly, despite huge increases in worker productivity and an explosion in technology, the average American worker is making over $45 a week less today than he or she did 50 years ago after adjusting for inflation. Today, in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, tens of millions struggle to put food on the table, find affordable housing, affordable health care, affordable prescription drugs, affordable child care, and affordable educational opportunities. In our country today, we have the highest rate of childhood poverty of almost any major nation, and half of older workers have no savings as they face retirement. And in the midst of this massive inequality, the United States and the world face enormous economic transformation as a result of artificial intelligence, robotics, and other new technologies. There is no question but that many of the jobs being done today will not be here in 10 or 20 years. Let's be clear. These technologies, which will greatly increase worker productivity, have the potential to be extraordinarily beneficial for humanity, or could cause devastating pain and dislocation for tens of millions of workers. The question is, who makes the decisions as to what happens in this radically changing economy, and who benefits from those decisions? Do we allow the market to throw working people out in the streets because they are redundant? Or do we take advantage of the increased productivity this technology creates to improve the lives of all? Throughout the history of humanity, The vast majority of people have had the struggle to feed themselves, find adequate shelter, and eke out a living. The good news is that the revolutionary new technology, if used to benefit all of humanity and not just the rich and the powerful, could usher in a new era of human development. It is not utopian thinking to imagine that for the first time in world history, we could enter a time in which every man, woman, and child has a decent standard of living and improved quality of life. In the United States, for example, the 40-hour work week under the Fair Labor Standards Act has been the legal definition of full-time work since 1940. Well, the world and technology have undergone enormous changes since 1940, and American workers are now 480% more productive than they were back then. It's time for those standards to reflect contemporary reality. It's time for a 32-hour work week with no loss in pay. It's time that working families were able to take advantage of the increased productivity that new technologies provide so that they can enjoy more leisure time, family time, educational and cultural opportunities, and less stress. Moving to a 32-hour work week with no loss of pay is not a radical idea. In fact, movement in that direction is already taking place in other developed countries. France, the seventh largest economy in the world, has a 35-hour work week and is considering reducing it to 32 hours. The work week in Norway and Denmark is about 37 hours a week. Recently, the United Kingdom conducted a four-day work week, pilot program of 3,000 workers at over 60 companies. Not surprisingly, it showed that happy workers were more productive. The pilot was so successful that 92% of the companies that participated decided to maintain a four-day work week because of the benefits to both employers and employees. Another pilot of nearly 1,000 workers at 33 companies in 7 countries found that revenue increased by more than 37% in the companies that participated, and 97% of workers were happy with the four-day work week. Needless to say, changes that benefit the working class of our country are not going to be easily handed over by the corporate elite. They have to be fought for and won. And in that regard, there has been some very good news over the last several years. We are now seeing workers stand up and fight for justice in a way we have not seen in decades. In America, more workers want to join unions. More workers are joining unions. 273,000 last year alone, and more workers are going out on strike for decent wages and benefits and winning. How close are we to the break now, Aaron?
We're 40 pretty seconds. Close. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, we better take the break. And after we get back, we'll finish this up. We're almost to the end. And then we'll see if Aaron has any idea who wrote this op-ed
piece. I have some thoughts.
Yeah, I bet you do. Hey, you're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
All of those tubes covered with oil, strumming my 6-string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp, they're beginning to boil. Wasting away.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered thunderstorms today. Otherwise, cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 90. South winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tonight, 60. Overcast skies. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, 66. Cloudy. High of 65 Thursday under overcast skies. 72 Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 75.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Welcome back into the Stu Daniels Show on a Tuesday morning, fifth day of September, 23 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock right now. 78 degrees in La Crosse already, 75 in Richland Center. Most areas of western Wisconsin have a heat advisory in effect for today. If you have to go outside today for any extended amount of time, do be careful. Make sure you stay hydrated and don't stay out there too long if you're doing physical work. Stuff that gets you all worked up. Just be careful out there. And hey, just before the break, I was going over an opinion piece, an op-ed piece, and I was almost to the finish. The headline on this piece says, "Why this Labor Day is so consequential." It's not utopian thinking to imagine that for the first time in world history, everyone could have a decent standard of living. And this piece goes over the way things are, the way things have been, and the way things could be if we can get past the fact that corporations have a pretty good grip on American workers. I'll get back to where we were. It says, needless to say, changes that benefit the working class of our country are not going to be easily handed over by the corporate elite. They have to be fought for and won. And in that regard, there has been some very good news over the last several years. We're now seeing workers stand up and fight for justice in a way we have not seen in decades. In America, more workers want to join unions. More workers are joining unions. 273,000 last year alone. And more workers are going out on strike for decent wages and benefits and winning. We're seeing that increased militancy all across our economy, with truck drivers, auto workers, writers, actors, warehouse workers, healthcare professionals, graduate student teachers, and baristas. Let's continue that struggle. Let's think big, not small. Let's create an economy and government that work for all, not just the few. Happy Labor Day. All right. Aaron, do you have a guess as to who wrote that opinion piece?
I am once again going to guess that it is Bernie Sanders.
I thought you were going to say Donald Trump. No, you're right. You're exactly 100% right. It was Senator Bernie Sanders, a guy that has been looking out for the working class and the middle class in this country for decades now. A guy who has really shaped much of the policy that we see from the administration that is in power right now, that is in the White House. Some of these ideas of health care for all and a living wage and education being paid for, student debt being relieved. A lot of these ideas all came from Bernie. He's been talking about those things for at least 10 years, maybe 15 or 20 years or longer. So I just thought I would share that with you on this day after Labor Day. I first saw this a couple of days ago, and I guess it was actually just published yesterday. So it couldn't have been a couple of days ago that I saw it. It must have been yesterday morning. So I thought I'd share that with you. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you have an opinion on that, if you agree with Senator Sanders or if you disagree, I'd like to hear from you. You can call in. Let me know your opinion. Phone number is 715-388-7155. Again, that's 715-388-7155. Got to take a break. You're tuned in to your local civic media radio station.
Shall run. There can be no power greater anywhere beneath the sun. Yet what force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one? But the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the union makes us
this summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. Quite a trek in Nevada. Tens of thousands of spectators finally allowed to leave the Burning Man Festival after thick mud from torrential rain left them stranded all weekend.
The annual counterculture event typically draws over 70,000 people, turning the Black Rock lakebed into a self-sufficient metropolis, ending with burning a giant statue of a man. But this year, the desert pummeled with 3 months' worth of rain in just a matter of hours.
ABC's Matt Gutman. Several court appearances today related to the January 6th insurrection. Former Trump aide Peter Navarro goes on trial in federal court on charges he failed to turn over documents and testify before the House January 6th committee. And this afternoon, sentencing for former Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio. Prosecutors want 33 years on a seditious conspiracy conviction for stoking the Capitol riot. And get well wishes for First Lady Dr. Jill Biden testing positive for COVID, but with mild symptoms. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. United States Representative Derek Van Orden visited the Chippewa Valley this week to get feedback before drafting the 2023 Farm Bill. Congressman Van Orden spoke to Wisconsin farmers to find out where the Farm Bill could be improved and reiterated his support for SNAP programs without work requirements that could take aid away from people who truly need it. The Farm Bill sets federal funding for agriculture programs every 5 years. HSHS hospital officials have confirmed a cybersecurity incident that caused a statewide system-wide outage of almost all operating systems at HSHS and Previa facilities. The scope and impact of the breach is still under investigation, but HSHS President and CEO Damond Boatwright says they've brought in third-party experts in law enforcement and deployed additional security measures. They're now working to bring back critical systems as quickly as possible. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Thank you.
There still may be some time. Fly me away to the bright side of the moon. Meet me on the other side. Ooh, dreamweaver, I believe you can get me through the night. Ooh,
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 836. And if you were around in the mid-1970s, man, you remember that song was everywhere. Couldn't get away from it. You'd hear it several times a day. Dreamweaver from Gary Wright, the late Gary Wright, passed away yesterday at the age of 80 years old. Going to give you a little bit of this piece from USA Today. And Aaron, if you want to leave that music a little bit behind me for as long as it lasts, it says Gary Wright, Dreamweaver, and Love is Alive singer dies at 80 after a health battle, according to reports. It says singer-songwriter Gary Wright, best known for his groundbreaking album The Dreamweaver, has died. He was 80. Wright died on Monday, yesterday, at his home in Palos Verdes Estates. His sons, Justin and Dorian, confirmed to ABC News and Variety, respectively. Wright's son, Justin, told ABC News that his father had been battling Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia for the past 6 years. USA Today has reached out to Wright's representative for comment. Born in April of 1943 in New Jersey, Wright found some success as the keyboardist for the British hard rock band Spooky Tooth. Following that group's disbandment, Wright devoted his efforts to his solo music career, releasing the albums Extraction and Footprint in 1970 and 71, respectively, but it was his 1975 album, The Dreamweaver, that became his breakthrough hit, boasting a pair of number two singles in 1976, that song we just heard, Dreamweaver, and also Love is Alive. The soft rock album was also recognized as one of the first rock albums to feature only synthesizers. And just as a person who lived through that era, I shouldn't interject here and say that this piece may have been written by somebody much younger than me or than I am. When it came out, it wasn't considered a soft rock album. It was just another album that was coming out at the time, like the Fleetwood Mac albums and Peter Frampton, Steve Miller Band, all that stuff was on the radio. And I don't think it became known as a soft rock album until we started calling some of that music soft rock later in the 80s and stuff. And then there became a radio format called soft rock, etc. But anyway, I'll get back to the story here. It says, here's a quote. This is from Gary Wright. He says, it was a big deal creatively because I had been working with basically a guitar-oriented band, which was Spooky Tooth, Wright told the Daytona Beach News Journal, part of the USA Today network, in 2011. He said, I had never consciously sat down and said, I'm going to do an all-keyboard album. It just fell into place as I was writing the songs for the album. And that album, Dreamweaver, went on to sell 2 million copies, and its title track, the one we just heard, Dreamweaver, has been featured in films such as Wayne's World, The People vs. Larry Flint, and Toy Story 3, and as well as others. Wright also lent his musical talents to his peers. Singer played keyboards on Beatles guitarist George Harrison's 1970 album, All Things Must Pass. And in the opinion of many people, that's one of the greatest rock albums of all time. So, Gary Wright, gone at the age of 80, hasn't really produced any music in recent years, but left us with a lot of stuff from back in the day. It's 20 minutes away from 9 o'clock right now. We've got 79 degrees already in Eau Claire, 75 in Amory. And the next thing I want to get to on this Tuesday morning is a study about the Great Lakes. You know, we've been discussing water and fresh water, clean water, quite a bit just in the last couple of weeks on this radio program. And here's another story. This is based on a study that's just been published recently. And it talks about the Great Lakes states, of which there are eight, I believe. And our state is, and what they do here in the study is they rank the states as far as policy and how well they are equipped to handle flooding. And our state does not rank in the top half of these states. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, posted just 2 hours ago. The headline says, "Climate change brings more floods. Which Great Lakes states are best prepared?" Hint, not Wisconsin. This piece, written by Caitlin Luby from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, starts out by saying climate change is bringing heavier rainfall to the Great Lakes region, increasing the likelihood of flooding. But when it comes to implementing flood policies, a new study shows that some states in the region are doing it better than others. The study published recently in the journal Climate Policy shows the eight Great Lakes states, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania vary greatly in the flood policies and programs they have in place. New York and Minnesota have the most advanced policies in place, followed by Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Ohio. Illinois and Indiana ranked last compared to other states in the region. The researchers scored each state on whether it had standard policies or more advanced ones that considered climate change as well as justice and equity. The latter issue takes into account socioeconomic factors such as health, poverty, and housing, because flooding can send a family on the margins into a tailspin if it is exposed to untreated stormwater and sewage or stuck at home, unable to get food and medication. Building in measures that emphasize justice and equity is an important role states can play that will either even the playing field or reinforce inequities, said Sarah Hughes, a political scientist at the University of Michigan and author of the study. The study can not only help local governments prepare for climate change, but it can serve as a resource for the states that may need more advanced policies in place, she said. And here's how the Great Lakes states stack up against each other, how Wisconsin compares to the other states, and what's being done in Milwaukee. So heavier rain events are hitting the Great Lakes region. As the climate continues to warm, the atmosphere can hold on to more water, leading to heavier rain events and flooding. Between the years 1900 and 2015, rainfall in the Great Lakes region rose by 10%, according to a report by 18 climate scientists around the Great Lakes. That report, published in 2019 by the Environmental Law and Policy Center, found that this was much higher than the nationwide average, which rose by 4%. The report also showed that winters and springs are expected to become wetter, while summers are becoming drier. All but three states included justice and equity in their flood policies. It says here that climate change is not experienced equally across the board. And that's according to Nancy Ratana, the program director for the Resilient Communities Program at Clean Wisconsin. many of the climate change challenges that historically disenfranchised communities face. It says many of the climate changes. Let me start over. It says many of the climate change challenges that historically disenfranchised communities face today can be traced back to past policies put in place by the government, like redlining, she said. According to the study, the most common ways states include justice and equity in their policies and plans are by doing assessments that identify neighborhoods that are at a greater risk but have fewer resources to respond. People often assume that multi-million dollar beach homes are the most at risk from flooding, said Alex Lehman, a law professor at Marquette University who researches flooding and climate change resilience at the national level. But it's really low-income communities that don't have the resources to spend a night at a hotel or money to fix their homes, he said. According to the study, Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio were the only Great Lakes states that did not emphasize justice and equity in state-level flood policies and planning. Overall, Minnesota had the strongest focus on justice and equity out of all eight states. There's a little bit more to this piece from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the Great Lakes states and their preparation for flooding. We'll get to this after we take a quick break. It's a short one, so stick around. You are tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies this afternoon with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 90. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows level off around 60. Cloudy. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 66. Cloudy skies. Mid-60s Thursday. Low 70s Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 75.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
comes sunshine, wake of the flood. Music from the Grateful Dead on a Tuesday morning. And we've been discussing flooding in the Great Lakes states. A new study that just came out talking about the preparedness of the eight Great Lakes states and also equity policies concerning the citizens of those states. This is, by the way, before we get back to that, let me just mention that we have some updated temperatures. It is 77 degrees in Hayward right now, also 78 degrees in La Crosse. Most areas of western Wisconsin have a heat advisory in effect today. Be careful if you have to go outside and do any work. Just be prepared. Make sure you're well hydrated, etc. You know the rules, right? So we've got 8:55 now. Going to get back to this piece with a headline that says, "Climate change brings more floods. Which Great Lakes states are best prepared? Hint, not Wisconsin." This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, posted 3 hours ago. And we were to the point here in the story that says most flood planning happens at the local level. When considering whether a state had standard or more advanced policies that included equity, the researchers in this study scored states on four categories: providing information, planning guidance, regulations, and funding. Michigan, New York, and Minnesota ranked the best at providing information that supports local planning. Minnesota was the only state that prioritized equity. Four states have statewide climate adaptation plans. Those four states are Minnesota, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. Climate adaptation plans can identify and prioritize vulnerabilities to climate change, as well as actions the state can take, like targets to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. According to the study, Minnesota's adaptation plan was the best in terms of justice and equity. Minnesota's climate action framework prioritizes equitable solutions to reduce and manage flooding, according to the study. Wisconsin's Governor's Task Force on Climate Change includes equity in terms of representation on the task force. The study found that Pennsylvania and New York have regulations for statewide flood resilience. New York and Minnesota were the most advanced in terms of providing funding and grant money for local communities. While the study comparing the Great Lakes states can be helpful in identifying gaps, much more flood planning and resilience efforts happen at the local level, said David Strifling, the director of the Water Law and Policy Initiative at Marquette University. And while it wasn't captured in the study, Wisconsin's Department of Health Services released a flood resilience scoreboard earlier this year, he said. It's actually a scorecard, and that scorecard provides guidance and information so that public officials and local government staff can boost flood resilience in their communities. So this is something we should all be concerned about. Climate change is real. Global warming is happening, and we have to think about what we're going to do in the future to prevent catastrophe. Got to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You are tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the ABC Civic News. Media
I'm
app.
Mike DeBow.